Well, praise the Lord. Good to see everyone this morning. I've had a number of thoughts this week, and I'm just, as usual, trusting the Lord to pull them together and make sense of what He wants. I appreciate the service we listened to last week, where Brother Cimbala talked about all of the service stations that God has provided for us in this journey, and we know life is a journey. In fact, everything about this world is a journey. And the thought that I had centered around a simple word, and that is destiny. You know, one thing I noticed, and I think many have noticed as you read through the New Testament particularly, a lot of it is just basic teaching. Because if we don't know basic truth, then, you know, we're kind of hit and miss a little bit. And God wants us to have a basic understanding to where even our kids know the truth about basic things. And the thoughts that I have had this morning are extremely basic. They'll touch on things we talked about many times. And yet I want to try, by God's grace, to bring them down to a simplicity where we can get a framework, a sense of what's going on and where we're headed. What really is everyone's destiny and what's the destiny of the world and so forth. And on one level, I think I will say many things that you will find, oh yeah, I know that, I've heard that all my life kind of stuff. But I have a feeling I'm going to be saying some things that some will find unusual and different. And you'll wonder, is this really so or not? So I'm just going to put it out there by faith. And I will say this. When you hear something that is different from what you've heard before, there's two reactions that you could possibly, two of the reactions that you could have would be these, and both of them would be wrong. One of them is, if Phil said it, it must be right. Well, let's just take a step back there. But the other one is, that's not what I was taught, so it must be wrong. And so what I would say, and what I believe the Lord would say, is when we hear that which is new and different to us, we need to just take a step back and say, Lord, I don't know, but I want to know, and I'm trusting you to show me, to quicken your word, and to give me a peaceful witness in your spirit so that I can have a conviction of my own. Because we don't want hand-me-down religion. We want a people who have been taught by the Lord. Isn't that what the Lord promised? In the New Covenant, He says they will all be taught by the Lord. And the Lord does use vessels. But we need to do what Paul said, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So the first thing about destiny that came to my mind was, what is the destiny of this world? And I think, you know, we know in a general sense, but, you know, obviously the mankind has all kinds of ideas. People are out there trying to, quote, save the planet. You've got some that subscribe to a view of the evolution, the upward evolving of mankind, and one day we're going to go and conquer the stars. We're going to be, you know, like Star Trek. That was kind of the theme of the whole series. Because man's just going to keep advancing, and then he's going to find a way to travel around the universe. And all of these ideas, and of course people think, you know, this world is all there is, and I've got to get everything I can out of it. But folks, if we're going to live our lives with a knowledge and with a sense of what is true and what is not, we're going to have a clear conviction about the future of the world. And I think a good place to start would be with the words of Jesus, who talked about the time of His coming and many things. But one thing He said was this, very simple words. Even a child can understand this. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My word will never pass away. So I don't care what you see. Look out the window, go to a beautiful scenery, look at a massive city of all that mankind has been able supposedly to achieve, and just take a look at that and realize that's all going to pass away. There's going to come a time when it will not be there. And I don't care what any man on this planet or woman achieves in this world, what they build, what they gather, This world will not be here when God is through with his plan. It's very simple. You know, John warns us, don't love the world, because he describes the things, the appetites that drive the world. He says the world passes away, and the lusts or the appetites, the desires of thereof pass away. But he that does the will of God abides forever. You know, the destiny of the world is something. And you don't want to use the word, the word destiny. We think of something that's been determined in a sense, don't we? It's not just a destination, but there is something that is bringing that destination about. Do you suppose that God is in control of what's going on planet Earth, even though he allows the devil a certain amount of freedom to do his thing? There's a God who reigns. He has given all things into the hand of his Son, and his Son has been charged with building him a kingdom, subduing every enemy under his feet, then handing that kingdom over to the Father. I'll tell you, there's something going on that is eternal. How many times did the Lord reveal through his prophets and to various people in the Old Testament days, especially? You think of Nebuchadnezzar and all the Lord revealed to him, brought him down to a place of such humility that all he could say was, he reigns, he does what he pleases. Among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, no one can stay his hand or tell him what to do. He's in charge. And, you know, we've used a lot of these scriptures before, but I want to just try to make it simple and plain. One of the passages and the areas of scripture that some of us are reading this time of year or have just read of the book of Daniel. And there's a passage in Daniel 10. I'm not going to turn there particularly, but we referred to this before. There was a message I preached on it, where Daniel is seeking the Lord, and it's evident he wants to understand, Lord, what's going on? What's going to happen? And God sends him a heavenly messenger, doesn't he? Okay, so there's this amazing being who shows up. And he says, Daniel, you know, you've been praying for 3 weeks now. I want you to understand, from the first day you began praying, the command was given to answer. But I've been kind of tied up. There's been an evil demon prince that rules over the kingdom of Persia, and I've been at war with him. But now, you know, we've taken care of that. Now I finally come. But what he came with was a book, wasn't it? You remember that? What was it called? The Book of Truth. Well, what was the Book of Truth about? The Book of Truth contained a record of events, earthly events, kingdoms who would rise and fall and on through generation after generation. But the thing about that book was it wasn't a book of history as we think of it. You know, when you think about kingdoms rising and falling, all we can do is look back to the past, can't we? We don't know. We have to sort of, I don't know what's really going to happen. But here's a God who says, I have already written history before it happens. Do you realize that's the world we live in? God has written history even though it has not happened. That's how amazing God is. And you know, when you come to answering the question, what is the destiny of this world? It's going to end. It's going to pass away. And of course, the simple question is, okay, when? Well, what does Jesus answer to that one? No one knows except one. That's the Father. Only the Father, the Most High God, knows when this world is going to end. In other words, we've talked about this before. He's got a calendar. He's got a schedule. And all of every event that's going to happen up to that point, he has already written it out, planned out. He knows what's going to happen. Nothing takes him by surprise. There are no emergency meetings in heaven because of stuff that happens down here. He's already foreseen every bit of it. And I don't care what the devil does. I don't care what the United Nations do. I don't care what George Soros and some of these fellows do and Bill Gates and you name it. There's not a thing they or the devil himself and all of his kingdom can do to stop it. You wonder why stuff is so crazy in the world. The devil is mad. He's upset. He knows what's coming. And so the other question I guess you could ask is, well, how is this going to happen? Are we going to get some kind of forewarning here? What does the scripture say about that? He's come like a thief in the night is one scripture right there in Matthew 24. The world's going to pass away. Only my Father knows when, but it's going to happen like a thief in the night. And you see where Paul uses the same kind of language in 1 Thessalonians 5. We've used that scripture many times. The thing is going to come like a thief in the night. Sudden destruction will happen, will come to them, and they will not escape. You want to know what, if you want to live for this world? This world, the destiny of this world, it's a temporary world, and God has a plan. It is unfolding. He has written that history, and that day will come like a thief in the night. There's nothing anybody can do to stop it. And when he is done, it will be gone. And so you could also ask the question, how? Well, you remember how Jesus talked about the historical examples. I'll use them again in a minute. That's something I refer to often. But what does Peter say about that? What are we looking for? You know, in Noah's day, it was a flood. It was water that covered the earth and killed every air-breathing creature, including man, that wasn't in the ark. They all died. But what's going to be the answer that God brings when that day comes? It's going to be fire, isn't it? The world, the earth, and all that's therein is going to be burned up. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. You want to know what God's plan is for this? He is using it to fulfill an eternal purpose. He has a purpose that makes this world is a part of. And we're living here temporarily. But I'll tell you, there's going to come a day, and it will come like a complete shock to the people of this world. They will have no warning whatsoever. And suddenly, the Lord will come, and this world will be, and God will get his people out of here, and this world will be on fire. The heavens will be on fire. It's going to end. I know that's not what you hear in many places. They have the world going on for, you know, at least 1,000 years and all of that. But I'll tell you, if you look at Scripture, and again, I use this constantly. I know I refer back to it. But Jesus gave two examples of his coming, did he not? He compared his coming to things that had happened in the past. Noah and the flood, and Lot leaving Sodom. In both cases, there was a handful of people at that point that were capable of hearing what God said and doing it and listening and obeying that. The rest of the population involved had reached a point where they had ceased not only to listen, but to cease to have the ability to listen. Strong delusion. So many scriptures that point to the condition that humanity will reach by that point. And so what happened, again, I'll ask the question I've asked many times, what happened to those who were left behind after God's people were removed and rescued? Every single one died. Every single one perished. Folks, that's what Jesus said is coming, and it will come like a thief in the night, totally unexpected, and everyone who is not ready for that day will die. That's the destiny of this world. Doesn't make much sense to live for this world, does it? Because everything is going to pass away. God's word will not pass away. So it's very simple. This world will pass away. It'll pass away suddenly by fire. Okay, so God has plans way beyond this. All right, so what is the destiny of those? And this is where we'll get into some areas that some of you are familiar with, and some of you probably say, whoa. What is the destiny of those who do not know God, those who find themselves in this place where they have shut their ears and they will, and they don't hear anymore. They don't hear God's voice. They have no capacity to hear it. And they're among those who reach that point. But what is their ultimate destiny? Okay? Yeah. Well, let's get to it. Let's see if the Lord can help me to reorganize thoughts that I've had. What is the destiny? One of the scriptures I had was in John chapter 12. It's a very simple. I'm in chapter 12. Praise God. And this is verse 25. Anyone who loves their life. Okay, what's he talking about, loving their life? This is their life here, right? We've been all given a kind of life. We inherited it from Adam. We were born here. But anyone who loves their life, this is what my life is about. It's about what I can accomplish and gather for myself here. Where John says, don't love your life. Here's what Jesus said happens. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. Well, anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You remember what God warned Adam and Eve even before they sinned? He said, on the day you partake of this particular tree, the knowledge of good and evil, now, I know the King James, I think, says you will surely die. If you look, and it certainly is that in that sense. But actually the original says dying you will die. So it's not, in other words, you don't eat it and drop dead. But there is a principle that enters your being and begins to process that will ultimately wind up in death. Well, of course, we know that the body dies. I don't care what the scientists try to accomplish, they're never going to eliminate the fact that we get old and we die. These bodies just are temporary. You're living in a body that's very temporary, in a world that's very temporary. It makes sense to understand these things because, you know, to live without this knowledge is folly. So anyway, dying you will die. So you say, well, I know my body's going to die, but my soul's going to live forever. Is it? That's a very good question, isn't it? Notice I just dropped one little thought in here. And in Ezekiel chapter 18, God is dealing with a question that had arisen in the minds of some of the people. And the question was this: do children die for the sins of their parents? In other words, if your parents commit some terrible sin, are you punished because they sin? Of course, the answer is no. And the famous scripture is, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So in other words, people die for their own sin. I'm responsible for me. I can't, you know, I may affect them in some sense, but I can't determine somebody else's destiny by me. I'm responsible for my destiny. So anyway, but baked into that is this: the soul that sinneth, not the body. The nephesh is the word. The very life force that we have shall die. You know, years ago, it's almost 50 years ago, where in the world did time go? I remember Brother Thomas coming to a service. We were living in Lake City at the time. And he came to a service one morning and shared something that he felt like the Lord had quickened to him. And he'd been thinking about it and praying about it for a while. And he threw it out there, very much what I described. I don't want you to believe it because I do, but I don't want you just to throw it out either. I want you to prayerfully consider what I'm saying. And what he shared was a very simple thing, that the destiny of the lost is not an eternal torture chamber. That's what everybody thinks. We've all heard that. Oh, it's either heaven or hell. And before we get done, I'll point out it's neither. Okay? But this concept that, oh, we're going to be in a never-ending torture chamber, and that's the destiny of people because, oh, we live forever. Boy, there's so many things wrong with that, and I've dealt with it in a whole service. I'm not going to try to get into that kind of detail. But what did what did the Lord say? Or this was the question. This was what settled it for me. Several weeks later, I put it on the shelf and said, Lord, I don't know. You're going to have to show me. Well, he did. Several weeks later, the thought was set before me. Why were Adam and Eve driven from the garden? Why were they driven from the garden? So they would not partake of the tree of life and what? And live forever. Oh, wait, what? I've heard preachers many times over the years say, you're going to live forever somewhere. That's not what God said. He literally put them to a place where they could not partake of that and live forever. That's a whole different animal there. Now, wait a minute. Let's stop and think about this. What did Jesus say? He that loves his life will be cast into an eternal torture chamber. Will lose it. There comes a terminal point for the life that we have. You know, it was an ancient heathen doctrine. Interesting. It was a heathen doctrine that man is by nature immortal. It's impossible for him to cease to exist. He is immortal. He has immortal life in it. Is that true? See, as soon as I thought about that scripture, the Lord immediately dropped in my mind a scripture where Paul was talking to Timothy, and he said, God, who alone is immortal. There's only one kind of life that is incapable of dying, and that's God's life. That's the key. God cannot die. His life cannot be exterminated. Everything else is created life. He breathed a kind of life. You know, how many of you know that the word nephesh, the word for soul in the Old Testament, is actually used of animals? One place it's fish. You go fishing for souls. And you clean them and eat them, I guess. But seriously, there is so much here that the devil has introduced this other idea. But I want you to know that if you're part of this world, and this is your destiny if you don't know the Lord. If you're here or if anybody hears this is your destiny. There is going to come a time when you will be cast into fire. There is fire. That's very plain. There is a lake of fire. The question is, what's the purpose of it? But the Lord said, he's the only one that's immortal. And then immediately another scripture came to me. Where does immortality come from? God has revealed immortality through the gospel. There's a pathway to life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not be cast into an eternal torture. Wait a minute. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can go on and on unlocking this subject. You see where the enemy has confused a whole lot of things. He's accused God of something terrible. But yet there is an end. There is a destiny. God is not going to tolerate evil forever. There is an evil life force that is infecting the human race. And if he doesn't do away with that, that evil will just go on. You know, one scripture, the last time I preached on this, I did not use this scripture. It came to me after the fact. But if you got questions about this, and I'm sure some do, this is not what you've heard, not what you've been taught. But look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. Well, let's begin in verse 26. Because what the writer here is dealing with is people who have come into a knowledge of truth. They know about God. They know what they ought to do. And they somehow never quite let go and cross the line and enter and embrace it. What happens if people stop short because they love their earthly life and that's what they want more when it comes right down to it? There's a choice to be made. Like the song we were sung this morning, how the Lord's drawing a line in the sand. They see all of that over there, but something holds them back, and they want their life more than they want what God has. If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. But only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. That's pretty plain language, isn't it? You know, Revelation 20 talks about the fire, but it doesn't really tell you specifically what the purpose of the fire is. Here you got judgment followed by fire, but what does the fire do? It consumes the enemies of God. Whatever there is of suffering and consequences of sin is going on before that. But there is a day. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Interesting how people that are only born once die twice. You notice that? You're just born into this world. You've got Adam's life in you, and that's it. And your body dies. But that's not the only death there is. There's another death to come. Those who are born twice only die once. Praise God, because we serve one who has conquered death forever. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. There's got to come into you a life, the very life of God, the tree of life. We've got to have access back to that. Only Jesus can open the gate and allow us to get in there and partake of that and be born of that life. That's a life that cannot die. These bodies will die. They're temporary. If you're living for this, you're wasting your time. Seek first the kingdom of God. God can take care of the needs of this life. But oh, we better have God's life. Praise God. That's the destiny of God's people. And this same God who has written history before it happened, all the things that he says about those who cast their lot with him, those who completely identify with Jesus, who lay down their lives and embrace his and set their hearts toward what he has promised. Oh, praise God. God knew that ahead of time. He knew all about it long before it happened. What does it say? We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Oh, that means God just decides for everybody. No, but nothing. God's sovereignty is one thing, but he does not use his sovereignty to override our responsibility to listen and to humble ourselves and to cast ourselves upon him. But God also knows those who will do that. He says, I knew you before the foundation of the world. I planned for you. David said, all of my days were written in your book. David's biography was already written before he was ever born. In fact, he says, when all of the substance that made up his physical body was just a bunch of minerals in the ground, God knew all about him then. And he's just in awe of the greatness of God. Oh my, I want to be in his hands. What a destiny. And that's the glorious thing. A destiny is something that someone else, really, the bottom line is someone else determines that. You cast yourself on him, there is one who takes over, who is able to finish what he started. Praise God. We know what the ultimate destiny is, but even you think about your life here. What's my destiny? I know that one day I'm going to leave this body. This physical life will be over, and then they're either going to cook me and scatter my ashes, or they're going to put me in the ground one way or the other. And then what? What does Paul say about that? to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise God. Whatever happened before the resurrection, I believe the saints were having to wait. I believe when the Lord came forth from that tomb, he brought forth a host of captives with him. He rescued all the Old Testament saints who had just been waiting. Oh, they knew what was coming. You see the expectation of all the hope for the future, and yet they knew they were going to have to die and wait. But when Jesus conquered death, he brought a host of captives with him, and he opened a place where we can go and be with him. Praise God. Praise God. And we will know when we stand there, we don't stand there because of any virtue we have. My destiny was determined by what God did through Jesus Christ. I can rest in my hope in that. Praise God. And not only that, I'm not going to be some spirit floating around somewhere. I'm going to have a body. When's that happen? When do we get these new bodies that we're going to have? The ones that are like Jesus. When he comes. The last enemy. What's the last enemy? Death. When is that conquered? When Christ comes. I mean, it's just another witness. So there are no more enemies after that. There's no more battles. There's no more history of this world. It's gone. Death is finally forever conquered. And not only do we have life in our spirits, we have brand new bodies that are not subject to all of this. God's purposes from the foundation of the world begin to unfold in ways that we cannot even imagine right now. You know, we've talked about the glory and all of those kinds of things, and they're absolutely true. But look at what we're told to expect immediately following the passage in Revelation 20 that talks about the judgment. The next few verses give just a little bit of a glimpse beyond that. The Lord showed John some things. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Now, the new heaven and new earth is exactly what the Lord revealed to Peter. We realize this one's going to be burned up. That's its destiny, folks. This planet, everything about it, everything about this universe has been so corrupted by sin and death, it's going to be destroyed. But there's going to be something to replace it. And it's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Praise God. It's going to be completely free from all of that stuff that's wrong with this world and this universe. All right? New heaven and new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Again, does that reveal the destiny? It's passed away. All right? And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. A lot of this is figurative language, but there's something real behind the figure. Okay? I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. That's some fancy figurative language, but God's talking about us. We're the bride. We're the bride. So even though God's people have been in heaven, what we call heaven, some place that is above us somewhere. God knows all about that stuff. I'm not going to try to sort it all out. But I know there's a place where God's people are walking with him right now, waiting for all of this to completely happen. Okay? But now we come past all of the judgment, all of the destruction. He says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. Praise God. A holy God can come and dwell with somebody like me. He's got a job on his hands to make me ready for that. But isn't that what everything is about? Praise God. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No more death except, oh, one little torture chamber. Sorry, I forgot about that. All of that has been passed away. See, it wasn't just people that were thrown in that lake of fire. It was death itself. It was Hades, the place of the dead. Everything was destroyed. God has an incinerator, folks. That's the destiny of this world. That is the destiny of those who harden their hearts against God. Why is Jesus said, in if I can remember the scripture exactly, this is the condemnation in John chapter 3. This is the condemnation. This is the reason why this happens. Men of light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light, or rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. People are making choices every day in this world. Those choices are fashioning them for their destiny. I'm so glad that I can just put my destiny in His hands. Praise God. Is God able to finish what He started? Has He written my story? I mean, you look at throughout the scriptures how God told Jeremiah, said, before you were formed in the womb, I chose you. I called you and made you a prophet to the nations. Say what? God was writing everyone's story. God's writing your story right now. I want to live out that story, don't you? Doesn't that mean that we need to be looking to God with a faith, with an expectation? It says, God, I know you have called me, you have loved me, you have made yourself known to me, not because of any good thing you found in me, but because of your love and your purpose to have a people, to have a family, to share an eternity with. Praise God, and you're able to bring me to that place. You know, what was God's purpose in the beginning? When He created the beautiful creation, then He brought Adam and Eve to it. What was their place in that creation? They were given the first creation to rule over. You remember that? All things were put under His feet, under His hand, under His rule. But what we did was to disobey God, to rebel against Him, and effectively hand over the control of everything to the devil. And so God has, since that day, been calling a people out of that order of things, getting them ready to share in something that's to come, that He's promised, that is as certain as what God has done through Christ and the resurrection and all of those things. His word will never pass away. That's what's coming. And God is using this world. But think about what that means about the new creation. Are we just going to sit around there and pluck harps? God is going to bring forth this amazing creation. And He's going to put us in charge. And He's fitting you for that. Every one of us is going to be brought to the likeness of Christ in the sense that we're going to be filled with His nature, His likeness, His character. And yet you and I are going to, everyone is different. Everyone is unique. Nobody's ever been made like you. I've said it many times. But God has got a place for you and for me in that brand new creation. It's going to be a life full of meaning and purpose and joy. You think about the sense of accomplishment that men have here. We're able to do this and do that and accomplish the other. But to be set free from all the things of all the sin and death and all the selfishness of this world, and free to enjoy what God has given to us and to love one another and have fellowship with one another, the things we will be able to explore, and you name it. I mean, you think of men exploring the universe. Who knows? We got all eternity to enjoy the creation that God is going to bring forth. And He'll be right in the middle of it with us. We won't ever be fighting against Him and resisting Him and doing it pridefully in that sense. We can enjoy. Oh, I'll tell you what. You can go on and on. But I think of Scripture. I'll just throw this one in. that we so often quote in Philippians 1:6, I am persuaded that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. Paul wrote that to first century believers. He said, God's going to be working in you till the day of Jesus Christ. Well, that's still future to us. God knows exactly when it's coming. That means there's still things that God is doing in them. It's not a matter of overcoming sin. They're in the presence of the Lord. But there's stuff that God wants to teach us. There's things that God's people are learning. And they're learning it there if they didn't learn it here. So many times we see people that we know that they gave themselves to the Lord, but there's still weaknesses and needs in their life, and it's evident they hadn't grown up. Well, is anybody here? Nobody here is totally grown up. If you and I died today, they could say, yeah, we believe they know the Lord, but we saw needs. The Lord knows about that. Whatever we will be on that day when we stand there in robed in white and in shining glory, God knows how to get his people there. That is a destiny that he determined. It's not like we have to go out and somehow make it happen. We surrender and allow him to work. Praise God. What is the destiny of this world? To pass away suddenly by fire. Does it make any sense to live for this world? What is the destiny ultimately of those who absolutely steadfastly refuse to humble themselves? What is the destiny? They will perish. There will be fire which consumes the enemies of God. I don't want to be his enemy. I want to be his friend. But that's a destiny for so many. I pray that God will change that in the heart. We're still in a time when God can reach some hearts. That's the thing. You know, you sometimes look out and you say, why in the world does God let this crazy world go on? Look at the terrible things that are happening. God's amazingly patient. We often quote the scripture, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. In one sense, God wants everybody to be saved. We have another scripture that says that. But when he talks about him being patient, not willing that any should perish, who is he talking about? You look in the context, he's talking about God's people. There are some of God's people yet in this world right now who have not heard the gospel, who have not yet been brought to that place of repentance. God is not going to leave anyone behind. That's what he's saying. That's the only reason God's waiting, because his table will be full on that day. Praise God. That's why we can pray and trust God to work in hearts that are in need today. But we serve a God who is absolutely in charge. There is a destiny for the world. There's a destiny for the people of this world who refuse him. But there is a destiny to which he has called his own. Praise God, he's well able and willing to take us all the way there. That's what I want to. I want to live with that knowledge. I want that to shape my thinking, to understand who I am and what my life is about, and to realize I might just be an instrument to help somebody that God wants to bring into the kingdom. But in the meantime, we can encourage one another. We can cry out to God to give us all that we need to stand in this dark hour, because we're going to need it. And he is willing, more than willing, to finish everything that he started. My destinies, my days, my times are in your hand. Didn't David say that? How many times has God revealed things like that to God's people? Be good for us to listen and to get that in our thinking, to where that shapes the way we look at everything. Because we serve a God who is in control. What is your destiny today? If there's someone who hears this and I'm not so sure. You better cry out to God. There's a God who will hear your voice. If you really want him to make himself known to you, he will. If you want to know because you want to serve him, if he's real, he'll let you know. If that's what matters to you more than just living out your life in this world and perishing, God will reveal himself and make himself real to you. He wants us to know. He wants us to be living with a confidence, not... I realize religion is producing a lot of people who will reach that day and wonder, oh my God, I thought I was one of them. God is not in religion. He is in the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not doctrine that'll save you and ritual and all those kinds of things. It's a living relationship with a Savior. And he comes to live on the inside and he makes us brand new people. We're part of a new creation right then. The life that will fill that creation enters the human heart when we give that heart to him. He comes in and he seals it by his Spirit, and he absolutely seals our destiny, not because we are able to somehow achieve it, but because he is able to save those to the uttermost who come unto God by him. He is a mighty Savior. To God be the glory. Praise God. Destiny is something we need to understand. You know, part of my desire was to make this so simple that kids can get it. I don't know. I'm not very good at that, but maybe some of you Sunday school teachers can take it. But I'll tell you, the destiny of this world is destruction. The destiny of its people who reject him is destruction. The destiny of those who trust in Christ and he comes to live in there is glory and a life that never ends in a brand new creation. Walking with Jesus, because he's going to hand the kingdom off to his Father and walk among us as our elder brother in that day. And God will be everything. His life will fill everything. To God be the glory. That sounds like a mighty good destiny, doesn't it to you? Praise God. Well, that's my destiny, not because I'm anything. The more I go, the more I realize God really... what he took on in trying to save me is amazing. Wow. But I could say the same thing about you. We all need a Savior. We have nothing to boast about except him. But he is able. He is able to keep what we've committed unto him against that day. It's alive, it's real, and it's coming. Destiny is absolutely something. Like I say, God has written history. I want to be on the right side of that history. And we can be. Praise God. To him be the glory.